Hello and welcome, Cosmic Explorers,
Hello.
and welcome to you know what? Let's start over.
No, we gotta go with it.
Yeah,
You got off, didn't you? Because you brought Megan in. You got yourself confused too.
it's okay. Welcome to another edition of Cosmic Insight. I am your co-creator, Hillis Pugh, along with
I'm Rebecca Gregory, and we're here tonight with the fabulous, amazing Megan Del Priora. Is a native New Yorker that landed in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, by the way of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I said during her time down south, Megan began a yoga practice as a complement to a rigorous gym routine. I never knew that about you. Eventually, the physicality of the practice started to take a back seat to her spirituality. And from there, she has been on a path of discovering and learning the variety of ways we can restore ourselves to a more balanced and intuitive lifestyle. Megan's ultimate goal is to be a healing factorium? That offers a holistic approach to facilitating the aforementioned restoration with certifications in nutrition, yoga, Cambo, and herbalism. Megan comes closer to reaching that goal every day. At the core of her being, Meg believes ecotopia is possible and is committed to helping that aim be reached by assisting her communities to tune into themselves via the natural world in the order to preserve both humanity and Mother Earth. So
Welcome.
our beautiful guest just here this evening. And I met Megan when I went for my Cambo training, and she was helping to assist at that time. And I have to tell you, the moment I met you, you were just a soul sister from the moment I saw your face and just your energy and who you were. And there was just this just disconnection right away. And I'm just so honored to have you in my world and been doing medicine with you and going on a journey with you, but also for joining us tonight at Cosmic Insight to tell us about yourself and express yourself and what you're doing and how you're here helping create this brand new beautiful world. So, hi.
Hello, thank you so much. I'm so excited to tap into your world in a different way a little bit because we have been around each other in these medicine-oriented spaces. So it's awesome to see our relationship growing a bit, and I'm super grateful that you opened this space and this door as I was telling you a bit about, trying to move past some of the fears of getting out there more.
Yes, and thank you so much for coming on and giving yourself the permission and the vulnerability to step on here tonight and look at and moving through the chaos that started at the beginning of the show. You missed it. Before we turned, we were doing the and my dogs are like having a freaking choir howling because they thought I left and they're all like singing and I was like getting out to yell at them all to be quiet. And so it's just, hey, it's how it is right now, isn't it?
Everyone's feeling that.
Yeah, definitely. You guys could tell by my little mishap. But it is what it is. It all works out. And I'm still laughing at myself because I'm usually just on point with getting the show together and with the energies as they are, people, fans, explorers, you guys know when we are in the flow of the energy, sometimes we just have to allow ourselves to surrender to that. And speaking of surrendering, Megan, I just want to know what allowed you to surrender yourself to the path that you're on right now?
Honestly, my physical health didn't really give me much more of an option. Right around my 30th birthday, my body started screaming, and I was doing the traditional Western path of testing and doctors and everyone was like, you're fine. Everything's fine. And I wasn't fine. I didn't feel fine. And my body was expressing it in many ways. And my mind was expressing it in many ways. And it kind of just beat me into this submission. And, plant medicine, ayahuasca in particular, fell into my lap. And I didn't really have much of a choice. They called and I just answered the phone and let them invite me to the party.
You know, that's typically how it is, right? I mean, I know that's been, you know, my path and everyone else's who's been on that way to surrender. Just like, okay, I get it. You know, I have to just allow myself to be with whatever this is that I'm feeling right now.
Absolutely. And I think that prior to that point, I spent so much time resisting. And recently, I've been jokingly saying, because I was participating in this online cacao program, and so in a dialogue with one of the women back and forth, I had said, you know, really, I'm this very tender, emotional person that kind of had to masquerade through life as a hard ass. And so I was in that, just resisting the surrender, even though I had these like toes in a pool of certain spiritual practices. And so eventually they kicked up and were like, listen, like, we're going to make you not resist anymore.
I love that. And that journey for you. And as I said, I love that you're here tonight being vulnerable and open up. And once again, just how everything's flowing from the beginning of where we are right now. How have you found, like, through your medicine world, and, you know, we all go through this change, and like maybe the number one significant thing that has happened to you to help keep propelling you forward on this path that you're on, like, that is really, you've seen that huge shift in your world. Like, one thing that's really helped you shift to help others out there that might be struggling like you are, just, you know, finding their bodies and finding their ways and need that assistance in stepping into these new energies, this new world.
Yeah. Trust, which has been incredibly difficult to cultivate based on my upbringing, based on trauma. But as these experiences and particularly these plants offered me their magic, it built trust, and I started to see things in front of me that made no sense. And so then that became the lead. And I have a guide, my cacao teacher, who loves to say, you know, follow the breadcrumbs. And then it became very easy for me to start following the breadcrumbs because I had trust. Mm-hmm. So I think that was probably the main thing that I really had to tap into in order to just let it happen without so much monkey mind.
You know, it always gets us, you know, the whole monkey mind getting caught up in that chatter. And so with the allowing of you building that trust, following the breadcrumbs, what was the key moment for you where you knew what you were doing was right for you? What was that moment? Because I know you said that you surrendered to the plant medicine because of your health, but that's just the beginning. And so somewhere in the course of that journey, there would have to be a moment like, this is what I'm supposed to do.
That's such a good question. So I think that it was almost gradual. A few months after, probably, honestly, my combo training, because I do go back and help assist within them. But before I went for that first Aya ceremony weekend, I had no idea about combo cambo. It's just a personal pronunciation thing. Same thing. It just 180'd my life. And I do remember sitting there looking around at the people around me who I finally felt understood by. I didn't feel like a black sheep because I am that on both sides of my family. Mm-hmm. And that was probably one of those main moments where I was like, okay, wow, this is different. Like, I never thought I would be making small burns on my skin to put, you know, the secretion of an Amazonian frog on me. And, feeling so held and loved and understood. And I'd say that was probably the start of it. But that was about 6 months after that first ceremony weekend. So within that, it just sort of gradually led me to that spot.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that with us.
And that's so beautiful as, you know, you move along and finding medicine. And I love how we always seem to find everyone on this show. A lot of it all we have going down the journey of plant medicine just seems to keep on coming. So it's like this message keeps on coming right now that plant medicine is so important could be a very important part of people's past out there with what is going on. And do you have anything to recommend for people out there that are looking to maybe start moving into plant medicine or herbal medicine? Because I know you do a lot also with, I know you're the herb master and the mama and make all your tinctures and everything. I was telling Hellas before this, I'm like, Megan's one of those people you could go out to a field with and she'll just pick stuff out of the field and makes things.
We're getting there, and I'm very lucky. All of that is because I have been led to really incredible teachers, who without, I wouldn't have built this level of knowledge and education. So I would say one of the first things is that seek out teachers that really resonate with you and that also be particular about them, because as with anything in this 3D existence, people are really good at playing the fiddle sometimes. Not everybody is deeply rooted in the safety of whether it be herbalism, whether it be psychedelic plant medicine, whether it be combo. So seek out teachers rooted in safety that are well educated. And in terms of the plant medicine, man, there's so many things, but one of the most important things at this point in my journey is be very particular who you work with. Be very particular who you receive medicine from. Be incredibly discerning with who you go rip your energetic, emotional, subtle, spiritual, physical body open in front of, who's supposed to be the container for those spaces. Because although I have been very lucky within my journey, I have had to learn that lesson the hard way a couple times. And I have sat in circles that have been very static, where the space has not been held safely, where the person leading it has not been able to be a proper vessel for the huge energies and traumas that are passing through people. So I would say, like, number one, be very careful where you sit and do your medicine.
No, I was just saying, I'm so grateful you brought that subject up, because that is so important, especially now with the abundance of ayahuasca in the Western, in the States now, and ceremonies happening everywhere, and just a lot of people just doing ceremonies and not having the knowledge, not spending the time with the plant and just doing it for money, basically, and not having the experience. So that's a very... I love that you brought that up, and it's something that needs to be discussed ahead of time when somebody's looking for the journey, because I think people just sign up and go places, but they don't, oh, it's just ayahuasca, but they don't look at who's serving that ayahuasca and ask those questions. But that's the number one most important thing. A, you know, let the plant call you, and two, to be in that space discerning on who you sit with. Like, I know Hillis has a wonderful group he sits with that he's been, that's becomes part of his tribe and his family. And that's important. You need to find that tribe and family to sit with. So thank you so much for Megan for bringing that up on this show, just in the awareness of, because it's so, so important right now.
It is. And if and one thing I kind of want to move into, because you brought up something that was very important. And when you say that, when you sit with someone who can hold that space to understand the energies that are passing through. And so being one who has served both as a participant and someone who's active in helping the shaman in ceremony, I understand when you say that, because, you know, you're in a room with me personally. I can't speak of no one else, but with me personally, I was in the room helping to hold space for about 30 to 40 people. So when you're in that container and you are allowing energy to move through you, well, most people don't understand that sometimes if you allow yourself to be open enough, you are connected to the person sitting next to you or the person on the other side of the room. And I have had experiences where people, and this is how friends are made in this experience. I've had people purge for me. And I'm like, wait, you okay, we could talk later. You know, it's that type of energy. And so when you have that bond with someone, it just creates a whole nother level of understanding of how you allow yourself to receive energy, but also how to move energy as well.
Mm-hmm. It's enormous. It's absolutely enormous. I've had the same exact experience where people have purged for me. As a combo practitioner, I've purged for people. And so you have to have people that are in charge of these things that are prepared to be that presence. I'm trying to get out of the habit of saying holding that space, because for me personally, I internalize that in a way that makes me feel like I have to do things. Mm. And ultimately, like, it is your presence there that is the space. It's who you are and your energetic boundaries and what you can be a container for. So in order to be the one sitting at the table of these massive energetics of these plants and of what they bring out of people, it's a huge responsibility. And I've seen a lot of people come in and just, like, you know, like Rebecca said, just, I sat in 3 or 4 ceremonies and now I'm a shaman and I can buy this on Etsy and I'm here to, like, serve my friends. And that gets very, very static very quickly. And people are going to, you're going to add trauma, right? We're coming to these to heal our traumas instead of coming in to add another thing that we now have to work on. So that's enormous in this realm of things for sure.
Oh yeah. And that energetics, I think people don't understand, you know, you open up to that space, that energetic space, and open yourself up to that vulnerability of that. You know, some people, when they do, if they aren't with somebody who's experienced or to know what's going on, they can, like, lose part of themselves. They can use part of your soul. They can bring back entities in their body. You know, there's a lot that can happen. So it is very important. And I've seen, you know, cases of people who have not got the proper and come back and needed to have other work just to heal themselves, you know, let go of what they collected during the ceremony because they didn't enter. And Hillis wants to chime in.
But no, I was going to say, I've had the exact same thing. I've known, actually, a person who was in my soul family, stepped out of the family, went to go somewhere else, see someone else. And she came back, like, I don't know what happened. And me being the energy practitioner that I am, I'm like, okay, you have to analyze it and say, yes, this is what happened. And so, you know, I'm glad that we're actually talking about this, you know, allowing us to be open to have this discussion, because, you know, people talk about, oh, all the good and wonderful experiences mm-hmm. that we've had. Because, I mean, last show, we had our friend Tara on it. We were talking about all the good things and all the wonderful experiences we've had, you know, with plant medicine. And now, you know, we're diving deep to more of the realistic aspect of the expectations of what people can or cannot expect. You know, yes, it's wonderful, it's good, it's enjoyable, you know, it's this euphoric feeling of this connection to oneness. But also, too, it's that aspect of having trust and mm-hmm. trusting what you feel, trusting what you know, trusting the experience. And the trusting of the experience aspect begins when you make the decision to sit with whom you sit with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And ultimately, no matter what relationship we're talking about, safety is basically one of the top things up there, mm-hmm. right? So especially with some shaman or ayahuasca or practitioner that I'm coming in and bringing all of my stuff to, like, with them for sure, which then lets me be able to trust.
You know, no, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying, do you find that, you know, just talking about all this and how it's ayahuasca, that there are circles right now, a shift in the medicine itself, where the container isn't held like it used to be because of people that, I'm just going to say, taking advantage of just serving medicine for greed?
Yeah.
Or maybe you've seen that. Yeah.
Of course. And I think that's probably always going to be there. because we're human. And, you know, plant medicine, capitalism is going to be a thing forever. There's going to be people that see this as a marketable space and whose intentions aren't pure and who aren't doing their own work. But also, as I see some of that happening, I do see a lot of other beautiful things happening. I see a lot of, you know, like our combo mentor, Claudia, is bringing a lot more indigenous women straight from like the Cofan tribe and from the tribes of Colombia to serve. And I think that's great because in that tribe, traditionally, women don't serve medicines. So I do see a lot of really interesting things counteracting it. But that's probably always going to have to be something, which is why that tournament is like there's, one of the top things.
There's that layover there. There's that
dynamic going on right now.
You know, and you say that, it brings an interesting point to mind. And so, you know, as we move through these energies, as we move through people wanting to understand about medicine and to understand the potency of it and how to serve it, one of the things that I come to understand that there's this big fear of it as well, this big proponent of fear. And the reason why I say that and I bring this up is because, you know, there was one person who I sat with in ceremony, wonderful woman, you know, had spark, love, energy, everything all about her. And so, you know, prior to us sitting in space, you know, those who sat in space for a while, so we're used to like doing things and connecting with people and preparing the space, all these little things just to make it feel more homey. And so, you know, it's maybe about 8, 9 o'clock, maybe a couple hours before we begin. And so we're all like, you know, having snacks, like maybe some crackers, all vegan stuff, you know, nothing heavy, you know, like some fruit, little things. And so this woman starts begin to tell her story about how she ordered medicine online and had it delivered to her home. And she followed the instructions to have her own ceremony by herself. And I looked at her and I'm like, you did what? What? And it got me to thinking, because I understand how someone in that mindset who has not experienced medicine before, it's like they want to have their own experience, something to quantify what it is to be with some with a group of people with within that space. And do you feel, and I guess you too, Rebecca, that there's this big space of fear around it where people are doing these little one-off things to really think, okay, you know, is this for me or what am I getting into type of situation?
Do you want to go, Megan? Want me to go?
Whatever. You go first.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, I think there's a huge fear around it. I think, A, because of the mindset of humanity placed upon any kind of medicine like that, that it's a drug or, you know, and this can happen to you and all the fear, you know, based that way on it. And also all personal fears of kind of stepping out of your box. I know me personally, when I first did ayahuasca, I did have fear in that I wasn't trusting of anybody here in the States to do it. And my personal thing was I wanted to go to the jungle, and I've said this before, and I wanted to be with the plant in the jungle, and it was, you know, and sit in that space where she is. For me, that's what I required to do because I did have that fear. Like I wasn't trusting. As we talked about earlier, I didn't know enough about it. But I felt that was the best. I had to go right where it stemmed from. So, I mean, that's what worked for me, but for other people, yeah, I could totally see how somebody say, and I think people who maybe do what this lady did, they don't know enough about the energetic world that they just think it's the medicine, but they don't know the layers of the medicine. They don't know the layers of the plant. So I can totally see how somebody could take just to experience, to see what it's about, because don't we always do that? We want to try, even when we do medicine, time after time, the first time is like, okay, now I know kind of what it's about. Now I can relax into it and understand it. So that's what came to me around that. What about you, Meg?
Yeah, so 100% agree with everything you said, especially in our culture and the war on drugs and how these things have been painted for so long. So many people have that ingrained in their psyche that this is, you know, going to make you jump out a window or something like that. So there's fear culturally, for sure. But I also think that a big part of the fear of coming to these ceremonies is a lot of us don't know how to let our guards down. A lot of us have never been granted the opportunities to really fully let our guards down and to be held. And that's been something that's been a huge part of my journey, learning how to let myself be held. And I wouldn't say I'm there 100, but we're getting closer. Mm-hmm. And so I think that when people know that they're stepping into a space this powerful, and they may not know what the experience exactly is going to be, but most of the time people show up knowing that they're going to have something with these, mm-hmm. no matter what medicine it is. And I think that that's a big part of the fear too. It's like, am I about to lose my shit in front of all of these people? And what happens if I do? And as somebody that has done that in front of a bunch of strangers, like, these are generally good environments to do that. Even the ones that have been a little, you know, not held in the tightest container have been safe to let the emotions out. So I think that that's a huge factor in the fear level people feel, is so many of us go through life with our families and with our environments where, you know, we're not allowed to word vomit our emotions out. And so I'm just going to come actually vomit my emotions out is going to be really scary for people.
Yeah. Honey, I found in medicine circles, most of the people in medicine circles are usually the black sheep of the family who are misunderstood and shut down.
Yeah.
And it's really funny. It's like, ooh, you experienced the same thing as me. So
finding that out made me feel so much better. I was quite insecure about it, 'cause I was like, wow, both sides? Like, all right, spirit, like, I guess I'll be isolated, you know?
So
I love that. And you know, I guess taking it as a step deeper, because, you know, we understand the level of being uncomfortable in new situations. And we understand that there's a great amount of fear surrounding that. But also, too, you know, when we're in those spaces, I guess, too, what comes to mind is, who's going to be accountable for my actions? Who's going to be accountable for me? Who's going to be, you know, responsible for me? And you know, yes, there are people like myself, you know, who have been in situations to be of service, to help people to move through that. But, you know, a lot of people, you know, in their first or second time, maybe even their third time or their fifth time, they are reluctant and have that resistance to owning up to their own.
You can say it.
Shit.
Megan, I've been pushing Hillis out of the box behind.
Sorry, I said the S word before.
That a lot. No, it's seldom I do, but you know,
I just love teasing him.
There you go. You just lent some of that out.
Yeah,
there you go. And so I guess, which is important too, I mean, you know, I guess you, since you being a practitioner, aside from, you know, the Cambo and everything else, the spiritual path, I guess what I really want to know is, how do you help people who are doing medicine become more accountable and responsible for their actions or their trauma or anything like that?
Well, I want to preface this by saying that's a constant work in progress.
Okay.
I'm constantly unfolding and growing into the version of myself that I want to see, as my roles change a little bit, right? And I'm starting to be invited into a little more leadership in things as opposed to like an attendee. I have to learn that, but I would say authentic communication, mm-hmm. gentle communication, learning to speak with grace, which has been a huge journey for me. I'm from this very rough Irish New York family. So speaking with grace to each other isn't something that exists really. And so, communicating to people when things come up and being authentic to your awareness, because when we see things going on that bring us discomfort, especially from other leaders within these kinds of communities, more often than not, somebody else is having some sort of experience that aligns with that in some way, or at least understands that. So honoring what you feel when you see something that isn't in complete integrity. And I think really also constantly looking at ourselves, because if we're not in integrity within ourselves, we're not going to see some of those shenanigan type things that go on around us to speak clearly about.
I love that. Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it, you know, because we really have to, especially when we step foot, make that decision, that first decision to do something like this, to understand what we're getting into. So more authentic conversations like this, I feel, are going to be really helpful to a lot of people.
And yeah, and I'm so glad you brought that up, Megan, about the integrity, because that's so important, the integrity of our own truth and standing in our truth and knowing, especially in the world of medicine, you know, knowing to stand and know when something is off balance, you know, to speak and communicate that clearly with the integrity of heart and truth, because it's so important because of, you know, the space you're holding for others in that container.
Yeah, and it's not easy, you know, definitely not. It's not easy to, I don't know if our culture is about that good communication life. There's so many things that pull us. I mean, even the way we text, which is, I'm constantly in, isn't cultivating the best lines of communication and us fully understanding and seeing faces and hearing each other. So it's a difficult journey, but whenever you're moving from an open, clear-hearted space, I think ultimately that will always work out in your favor.
Yeah, it will. You know, I'm sitting here and I'm being guided to share one of my experiences of ceremony, to where I was of service, of being a door for the energies, you know, of the shaman, being the door, being the helper, the guardian of the space, if you will. And one of my dear friends, my sister, she brought her father with her for the first time. And so she picked me up. You know, we drove from Brooklyn all the way up to upstate New York. I think it was maybe about 4 or 5 hour, probably like about 4 hour drive, because we like to get there early, you know, the whole routine, whatever. And so, you know, for new people, we like to, you know, for them to get comfortable with us, get to know us, to create that safe space, that place of trust. And so it was his first night, because it was a weekend, and he just started to have an episode. And I went to go attend to him, and the closer that I got, the more he freaked out. Mm. And it wasn't until after ceremony was over that I realized why he freaked out. And it was because I was the exact mirror. I was his mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, geez, that was deep. And even in me being a mirror for someone else, you know, because he knew my personal life, you know, because I was telling him stuff. And I know that, you know, that she shared some stuff with him about me, which I was comfortable with, because, you know, if we're going to be in this space, you know, 30 people in the space, we got to know each other, got to fill it out. And so after I understood that I was a mirror for him, exact mirror for him, it helped me to realize that, yes, I could be a mirror for people, still hold my composure, still live my truth and accept my truth as I am as a being, but also to exemplify the strength in that. And yes, when he freaked out, I kind of freaked out a little bit too, because I'm like, I'm doing what I was supposed to be doing, but why? I don't get it. Why are you freaking out? What's going on? How can I help? And you know, and it's like when you're in that role, it's like, I just want to help. And it's like he wasn't ready. Mm-hmm. And so we all, the whole space, you know, just did what we did to shift the energy. There was a beautiful coming together, that space. And so, you know, yeah, there are going to be moments like that, people. Live with it.
Yeah, I'm glad you bring that up, Hillis, because that's a great thing of learning discernment with our own energy and knowing, you know, as the empath or as the, I want to say the wounded healer, what do they call it? The wounded healer heals or whatever they call it, you know, but in that space of once being wounded yourself, we always want to help. And sometimes helping is just standing back and allow the person to go through the process to be there.
Freak out.
Yeah, let them freak out, but not be there to really do anything, but hold that space, that container for them, knowing that they're safe. And that's all they need, really require. They don't need our assistance because they have to go through it themselves.
Yeah.
That's been something hard for me to learn because especially as like a Virgo, the sign of service, right? Like I want to how do I help alleviate this for you? But you can't, like you said, you can't always, this is your process and you have to sit in it. And so I want to commend you, Hillis, because I was thinking as you were speaking, like, I would have taken that very personally. Not as though that man was doing anything wrong, right? But I think I would have been like, oh my God, he won't let me help him. Like, what's wrong with me? You know? And so that's also part of the magic of the roles changing too, is as we're in there to be present for people, it's constantly challenging us to look at our own shadows now in a different format. And sometimes it can be, you know, that's part of our shadow. Step back and back off. Let them experience this.
And I loved how you said, Megan, don't take it personally. That's like such a huge thing in the world that we function in, is don't take things personally, no matter what level.
Yeah.
Because no matter what is said to you, it's either reflection, a mirror, a rejection, or whatever, but it's usually never about you.
So often not about us. And that's that's another one.
How do we know it's not really about us? How do we really know?
Because I said so.
That really good book, The Four Agreements, said so.
Yes.
Yeah. Actually, we have to have him on our show too.
We will.
Yes.
We have a snail visitor.
Yes. And
I had a snail visitor on the farm today.
Oh, there's a snail sitting on the window right above us right now, just kind of chilling, looking in.
A picture later. He was really cute on this beautiful.
Oh, I'll take a picture of this one and send it to you.
Perfect.
I always have animals appear here. Oh, we got the lizard too. Sorry. Sidetracked.
And so, you know, Megan, you know, I also know that you also do light language, which I am getting more comfortable in to doing and in writing and translating as well, because I know this is part of my path, part of what I do, you know, because Rebecca does sound and I translate for her all the time, and I do work with clients, and this whole light language thing, because we're moving into the energy of vibration, the language of vibration. And so how did you get into that, my dear? I want to know. I'm curious.
Yeah, so that's pretty new for me still. I have been aware of light language from some community members, ceremony family, and always thought like, wow, this is amazing. Like, they're aliens. This is so cool. And a few months ago, I was helping assist a psilocybin ceremony, and I took just a small amount of mushrooms, but it hit me very quickly and very hard. And I went into this very, you know, the space, this bubbling, effulgent type space. And I have this spirit guide named Ayo, who was there standing in the background. And there was all of these female figures, and there was this big black, like, oh, I can't remember the goddess. There's like the, you see the candles or the images sometimes, like the African goddess, she's got the very large breasts and the rolls, and she's, I can't remember the name, but it looked like her, except for like deeply black, and she had this wild hair. And then there was all these like smaller female figures around her. And I remember trying to call Ayo forward and saying like, Ayo, come here, come hang out with us, you know? And he was like, no, I knew you needed to meet my sisters. And so I just was in space with them and all of a sudden started coming out with this, you know, this light language that I had never spoken before. I had never encountered it within myself. And there was some hand motions that came with it as well. And the only thing that I remembered fully after that experience, like as quickly as I went in, I came out and I was like dead sober. It was the weirdest thing. And I remembered was Sefai, which I'm pretty sure at this point means I am Sefai. And so for the rest of the night, I was walking around, like, and I had my feather fan, Sefai, Sefai. And so I've been over the past, I guess that was like 3 months ago, over the past 3 months, I've been trying to learn how to tap that just on my own without having medicines in my system. And I had a very gifted channel medium, Sister Luz, suggest to me that 5 minutes and 55 seconds a day, I sit and record myself speaking light language. And it can be a little awkward sometimes because I don't have full translations. I get sensations, and that gives me a bit of an inclination as to what I'm saying. But yeah, it's still not quite refined, but we're working on it.
Yeah, you know, it started off like that for me too. So years ago, probably like about close to 7 years now, I got my certification as a clairaudient psychic medium. So it helps me because I can hear. My strong suit is my hearing. And I tell you, sometimes I could be sitting somewhere and I can hear, sometimes I can possibly hear a pin drop. That's how good my hearing is. I'm like, okay, what's really going on? Or sometimes I pick up on the subtle shifts of the energy.
His grandmother's with him right now. Miss Saida, you gotta leave. She always comes in.
Oh, I love it.
And freezes Hillis. He'll be back. So talking about your light language, do you feel comfortable maybe doing some for us this evening to really see how you feel?
That it would be a disservice to the challenging of my own fear if I didn't.
Are you back? Hillis? Does he hear us?
I don't know.
Are you back?
And yes, that spirit is always coming in.
Your grandmother came in.
Yeah, that's spirit coming in as always, coming to say hi. So everyone saw
it. I'm going to freeze you because we want to hear Megan.
Yes, we're going to get to that.
I know.
But thank you, everyone, for being with a brief interruption. That spirit was coming in to express a wonderful message, which we'll find out soon enough. But anyway, back to the story.
So could you still hear us? Because we were still talking.
No, not a word.
Oh, we were going to?
Huh? Yeah. No,
we were still talking, though.
I know. So anyway, I was going for my Reiki attunement, and then I got my Lemurian Light certification, which comes with these light language activations and light language symbols and things that I am connected to. And so it's within the past year, me connecting with Rebecca. Well, I actually known Rebecca for a couple of years now, but you know, the past year, you know, since she's been doing her sound, I said, hey, why don't I try to translate for you? And so when she would do her sound, I would get these little blips of messages, and every time she does them, I get the messages get longer and longer and longer. I can be able to comprehend the whole entire thing. And so it is in that I'm now able to actually draw my own and incorporate my own energy into it because I allowed the energy. So yeah, just keep practicing. I mean, you're going to, it's all coming together.
And what you did for me the other night on the phone was absolutely beautiful. So, and I was funny when you were doing it, I wanted to respond back to you. I didn't, but I felt myself like wanting, like, it was so familiar, like respond back to you and have a conversation with you in that language. So it's very interesting for me. So thank you.
It's really, man, it's another lesson in like trust and surrender, because when I just let it comes so easily. But when I get too in my head and I get too cerebral, then it starts to, you can feel the spirit disruption, right? And it's like, oh, nah. No, not now.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you brought that up too, because, you know, when I started learning about light languages, I started really to understand what it is and to really understand how it's supposed to sound, because there's a distinct sound to it. And so, you know, light language is different for everybody and how they transmit it. Mm-hmm. Everyone has their way in bringing it forth and bringing it forward and so forth. And so it was this one lady that I heard about 3-4 years ago, you know, closer to 4 years now. And I saw her twice. So 3 and 4 years, I saw her, you know, anyway. And when she was speaking it, I was hearing Portuguese, I was hearing French, I was hearing Japanese, I was hearing like all these words, and I knew like nope, that's not it. And then when I really tuned into the energy, I'm like, no, this isn't like language, this is something else. Not saying that what she was doing was incorrect, it was what was for her to bring the energy and information forward, which I applaud and very much appreciate. But then when you have the higher realms, the higher dimensional space that comes in through the channel that we are, through the vessel that we allow ourselves to be, to project this information, to project this space of love and joy, that's what it is. Because usually when Rebecca does a sound, I always tell people, say, don't pay attention to the sound, focus on the feeling of it.
Yeah.
And that's where it goes from there. So would you be open if you are able to, because I know it's a process, you know, like anything, you have to channel, tune in. Would you be open to possibly sharing a little bit of your gift with us today?
Sure. Yeah, I'll see what comes, certainly. And I love that you mentioned Lemuria, because I have my
Look at him.
That I got for $5. Which is a whole nother crazy story. But basically this spiritual healer here in Pittsburgh had passed, and I went to her estate sale, and her brother-in-law had no idea what he had on that table. And so he sold this and this other big chunk of amethyst for $5 a pop. And as I've gotten feedback, people are like, this is a Lemurian stone. Did you know that? I'm like, we'll help bring that into the transmission a little bit. Okay.
I'm excited.
Alatan su feminizi tu, akantasen e feminizi lesi tu, anatse tu, akuntesen e mat setan anafisiu, asanatsu, sin fenai, iwasunu fene, anatsanuse, epinisunu kanakanasen e tu sinifi, Lestai fi se fino meatai asu. And that's something along the lines of like, release the fear from your heart
Yeah, I was feeling it in my heart. Yeah. My heart was opening up.
So may I fill in the rest for you?
Oh, he's going to translate for you.
Please.
So it is, as you stated, I am of this divine feminine presence here in this body to offer you this gift. And this gift is what you just said, to release the fear of the heart, to allow the fear to be free and allow yourself to live in love.
Whoa.
Yeah. Wow. And it's interesting because now I'm starting to get visualization with these. Before it was just me feeling here what the sound means. It was more like a body experience. Now it's body and mind, the third eye experience is so it starts here, and now it's coming up here, which is really interesting these days.
Wow. Look at you.
What is
that all over the place?
Man.
That was beautiful.
That was stunning. Thank you for that. I mean,
you got quite a gift, my dear.
This is going to be on replay so I can really understand and listen to it more and more. You know, definitely. So, my dear Megan, I know that we are coming to a close of the show, but I want people to know, where can they learn more about you? I know that you're in the process of rebranding yourself now, but in the meantime, until that happens, where can people find you now and then later?
Yeah, so at the moment, I'm pretty active on Instagram, which my handle is at Meg Diggs Plant. And eventually, all of these things are coming together to be Ritual Smoke Healing Collective. And eventually, it will be ritualsmokehealingcollective.com. And it will be this fusion of all the things, nutrition, yoga, meditation, light language, combo, plant medicine, all of the
plethora.
Yeah, singing and hopefully getting better with drawing the light language. I have these small visions of art. So yeah, at the moment, Instagram would be the best place.
So it's at Meg Diggs Plants.
Yes.
Awesome. Is that it? See it down below?
I'm sorry?
Can he put it down on the screen for you?
That
I didn't know if you could hear that. Okay.
Awesome. So, Megan, my dear soul sister, everyone who's watching, follow her on Instagram. She is a beautiful soul. I mean, you can see the light beaming from her. And I feel it. You know, it's all this energy that's coming in and coming through. Go find her. Go follow her. I know I will. especially after today, to really hone in and connect. And so, Megan, any final thoughts, anything that you want to leave our audience with, anything that you wish to inspire them with?
I want to remind people that love is real. Opening our hearts is real. Doing whatever shadow work needs to be done to live and lead from an open heart is one of the most human and giving things that we can do. And to be gentle with yourselves, because our entire world is changing. Our entire structure is changing. Our feels like our 3D reality is changing. And so do your work, be gentle, love each other, and forgive.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Megan, my dear soul sister, oh my gosh, you're such a beautiful light. I was so honored to have you here today. And I want to thank you for coming on this show today and being an inspiration for so many people that are going to listen to this, of being vulnerable and stepping forward and coming out of your comfort zone to come live and spread that beautiful gift you have to everyone, because that was just so amazing. And I know it took a lot for you to do that. So I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for sharing that gift with everyone and stepping forward and saying yes to you. So it was such an inspiration today and beyond an honor to be here with you today.
Oh my goodness. Thank
whatever,
you.
Whenever it is.
So much to both of you.
I love you so much.
I love both of y'all so much. Rebecca, I am so honored to walk this path with you. And I know we have like a huge experience together coming up, and I'm so honored to walk that path with you as well. And thank you so much, because the universe, people, my communities have really been encouraging me like to be bigger. And there's just been a lot of fear in letting all of these things out to the world. And so you asking me to be here and challenging me to be here and to walk the walk of leading from an open heart, it means the world to me. And the faith that you've always had in me means the world to me. So I love you to death.
So Megan, you are a cosmic explorer. So people, this is what it's all about.
Yes. Soul family.
So yes, good. Yes, yes. So I'm about to cry. I get tears in my eyes because just feeling the love here. So thank you all you cosmic explorers out there. Keep on exploring. And till next time, thank you.
Till next time, everyone.
Mwah.